the bedroom, but Patrick keeps it pretty PG between us.
You think you're one of those people?
He states, literally reading my mind. No. He looks me up and down with a lustful gaze, eyes focusing on my exposed thighs before trailing along my body as he takes me in, thinking.
Nah, I'll bet you're one of those closet freaks. The good girls usually are.
I can't tell if this is a compliment or supposed to be a diss. It's as if he can read my sexual struggles and problems just by looking into my scared, intimidated eyes.
Too bad old Pat can't keep up.
He smirks while his voice purrs.
Too bad I can't what?
Patrick's happy morning voice fills the room and I immediately suck in a breath. I hide my wide eyes by blinking profusely, then smile and run up to Patrick for a quick hug.
Too bad you can't come to the party next week. Cole said you were busy.
Hawk clears his throat, rubbing the back of his neck.
Cole? Who's Cole? Nicole.
He clarifies, as if he misspoke. This is the only time he gets a pass for calling me that. Patrick gives him a little curious glance, then brushes it away.
Oh, yeah, she must have told you I was leaving town. I'll be gone for a few days.
Hawk nods his head slowly, his eyes slightly narrowed. Clearly, we never talked about it, but he's playing along the best he can. My heart is beating out of my chest. I swallow nervously, then turn to Patrick to change the subject. Lunch? Want a sandwich today?
Nah, I'll just eat out. Maybe you, if you're around.
He nuzzles his nose into me and I blush in awkward embarrassment. He leans in and gives me a kiss on the lips before squeezing me against him, cupping me in front of Hawk. I quickly glance over Patrick's shoulder to see Hawk staring intently at a spot on the floor. His jaw is tight as he holds onto the kitchen chair with white knuckles, seemingly uncomfortable. This PDA is becoming too awkward for me lately, but I can't let anyone know it bothers me. Wouldn't want someone thinking the wrong thing. I smile at Patrick, then shy away from his embrace.
I'll be back around 5 tonight. Maybe we can watch another episode of Survivor? We need to catch up.
He kisses my cheek, grabbing his keys off the counter and heads for the door.
Love you, Angel. Have a good day. Later, Hawk.
Survivor. His favorite show that he assumes I like because I enjoy time with him, even if he makes me watch old episodes of an overdone reality TV game show. I smile and give a light wave, crossing my arms in my robe while I chew on my thumb, watching his departure.
Survivor?
Hawk scoffs from behind me. I turn, facing him with a pained frown. Shut up. He laughs at my remark, then pours up two cups of coffee. One for him and my favorite mug for me. He remembered?
He's leaving next week,
he questions, making small talk. Yeah, work has him going to Colorado, so guess he'll be gone for a few days.
Nice.
He purses his lips together and looks at me like he's waiting for something. What? He straightens from the position he's stuck in.
Nothing, I just meant good for him.
He's acting weird. Insinuating something, giving me funny eyes, but I can't ever quite grasp what he's up to. He stalls, looking at me like I'm crazy for not understanding. But understanding Hawk and the complexities that encompass him is not something that comes easily to me. Grabbing his cup, he makes his way towards the living room, plopping down on the couch and turning the TV on as if he's been doing it for years. I can't ignore the fact that he's so casually effortless in his look. The sweats just always work for his tall, statuesque frame. But it's more than just that. He looks content and relaxed. His face is a lot brighter than when he originally showed up. He just seems happier. Maybe Susie sucks a lot cured him? He calls to me, snapping me out of my little daydream.
Cole. Get over here. Scarface is on.
A smile creeps across my face. Now we're talking my language. 10. The Departed. Enjoying coffee while watching mobsters murder each other has become a new favorite part of my day. Hawk and I have been doing this for the past few days. Every morning after Patrick leaves for work, we settle into the couch, watch a new gangster movie, and enjoy a few cups of coffee before I begin my editing work from the office of our bedroom. After we made our cups, we sit down together, slowly inching closer each day. We started on opposite ends of the sectional sofa initially, but after a few days and feeling more comfortable around each other, we've settled into the middle. It's fun being able to enjoy films and talk freely about topics considered outrageous or easily dismissed by Patrick. I've also been learning more about Hawk and who he is. I found out he also grew up here like Patrick. Went to high school with him and everything. He had plans to enlist to become a Navy SEAL like his father once was, but when his father passed away, he was on his own. Each of his tattoos had a deep underlying meaning, his favorite being an outlined image of Phil Collins on his ribcage. Strange. He dabbled in drugs to not only help pay bills, but to ease the pain of losing his only parent. While he kept the conversations short, he definitely cued me into a few realizations. He'd lost his way after his father's death, got into drugs, and shortly after went to prison. Why he went is still a mystery. We're building a unique friendship, and it's been nice seeing a more carefree side of him lately. So are you actually going to get a job or just continue drinking coffee, watching mob movies, and smashing women throughout the day? I ask unabashedly.
It must really bother you.
No, just curious if you had plans. I don't know how else to word what I'm trying to ask. Are you planning on getting back to having a life after prison? Just doesn't roll right off the tongue.
If you're wondering what I'm going to do with my life now, don't. I don't have much of a choice in the matter.
He kicks his leg up on the coffee table, relaxing in his sweats, and leans towards me on his elbow. I can't help but study his long frame or the way his piercing always draws my eyes to his lips. He's so interesting to look at. As soon as I feel like I'm gawking, I speak up. Why don't you have a choice in your own life? He ruffles his hair with his hand.
There are rules after you're released. You don't just get to go back into society again. I have a transition job that I'll be starting soon at some pre-sort mail company to get me back into the workforce. I'm under watch, parole. You familiar?
Yeah, I reply softly, not entirely sure how much he wants to divulge to me.
Well, I'm on parole, meaning I have an officer who will check up on me and the house itself. I'm sure Patrick told you all about it.
Not at all. I can't believe Patrick. No, he didn't tell me anything. Hawk cocks his head, staring at me with confusion in his eyes. He drops his leg from the end table, sitting up and turning to me.
He didn't tell you anything.
The words fall out of his mouth as if he can't believe it. Nothing.
So you have no idea what I went to prison for?
He asks, his brows raising. No, I was about to Google you, I admit, a grin pulling at my lips. His face drops instantly as he stares at me. He drops his eyes to the blanket on my lap, then a somber face hits. But I won't if you don't want me to, I finish, hoping to ease the sudden, uncomfortable tension. He talks, looking down as the words spill out.
One day,
he nods to himself.
One day you'll learn the truth and it'll change everything.
The words feel like they have so much weight to them. Whatever happened to him in his past was heavy. There's no doubt. And yet, he speaks about it as if my life will change. Change everything? If he thinks that I'm going to think differently of him because of what I find out, he's got it all wrong. I'm not the type that's quick to judge like Patrick and them, I mumble, my eyes finding the courage to connect with his.
I think you called me a junkie the first day we met.
I stretch my bottom lip, making a pained face. Yeah, I think you're right. Okay, I totally judged you. And maybe I shouldn't have.
Maybe.
Well, you're still an ass, I grin, making him smile. I know you were attempting to get back at me for calling the cops on you when we were at the cabin. Don't think I'm not aware. Plus, my assumptions aren't totally off. He swallows, looking suddenly uncomfortable.
I'd never have taken it too far. I was just messing with you.
Ah, so my assumption was right. You did have a plan. He rolls his eyes.
Yeah, I wanted to seduce you, maybe get some pics and blackmail you into fucking me.
My eyes stretch like saucers.
I'm just playing, chill, crazy. I'm really not that well thought out. I just wanted to kick it with you.
He leans back against the couch again and sighs.
Could have been fun, though.
Blackmailing me? His brow furrows, as if blackmailing is literally the last thing he'd want to do.
No. Fucking you.
A sly grin slowly creeps across his devilish face, making me feel things in places I shouldn't. My face flushes and I try to hide my blush as well as you can hide a blush. You whore.
Still judging me, I see.
He smirks back at my grin. I think you'll find we are more alike than not in some regard. You have judged me too, Mr. Hawk. I smirk and crack the K of his name dramatically. And for that, you are no better than me.
I think I'm starting to realize that.
He stares at me for a moment, the words we've spoken just lingering in the air. He judged me the moment he saw me, too. Stick up my ass, prissy girl, tattletale, Bible-humping girlfriend. Sure, I could see where he'd get it, but I'm not like these fake people I've surrounded myself with. I care deeply and enjoy things that are real and authentic. Everything that I thought Patrick was when we first met. But that seems to be changing by the day. He licks his teeth, thoughts clearly going through his head as we stare at each other for a moment, before he turns his head back towards the movie. I take in a breath. Being in his presence sometimes causes me to feel unable to breathe properly. He switches from being easygoing to serious to flirtatious to cold, all within a matter of seconds. Today's movie is The Departed. I've seen this movie before. So has Hawk. As we watch, we get to the scene where Leo is about to have sex with a female character in the kitchen. You know, the one with the boyfriend. Talk about uncomfortable. The air feels thick around us. The playfulness has settled, and I'm trying my best not to move, not to swallow, not to breathe too hard. We watch the scene play out about 2 feet away from each other on the couch. From the corner of my eye, where he's leaning his head back against the sofa, I can see Hawk's eyes glued to the screen, his lips slightly parted. I shift uncomfortably, and he notices. His head rolls towards me, eyes scanning over me. It's a passionate scene, a lustful scene. A scene in which each character cannot contain their sexual attraction to one another, despite the issues at hand and despite the fact that it's considered wrong. I nervously bite the corner of my lip, unable to control the fact that my breathing is picked up. Hawk's staring at me now, gauging my reaction to the scene by what it seems. I turn my head slowly, making eye contact with him. His expression is unreadable. His eyes hold a seriousness to them I haven't seen before. He gazes at me for a moment, then his gaze travels down to my lips. My eyes fall hooded and every part of me feels on alert. I feel like I can't breathe. I feel dizzy and need to leave the heaviness that has become this room. I close my eyes tightly, then turn towards the TV again and stand up, leaving my coffee on the table before me. I should really get started on my work. He closes his eyes for a moment, almost processing it. Then his face turns cold again as he watches the TV, giving me a small head nod, almost dismissing me. I shoot him a confused look. I don't understand his shift in energy. He's sending me so many unreadable signals. At least, I think so. Am I imagining these things? His looks, his energy, maybe I'm losing it. I make my way around his side of the couch, heading towards my room, feeling somewhat frustrated in myself, when I hear his voice behind me.
Cole, wait,
he says, sounding urgent. I turn around at my door, seeing him walking towards me quickly. He reaches me, then pauses, standing directly above me. What? He moves in closer as my back hits the door, his large frame towering over me. He stalls, his mouth open, lips parted as if he's about to say something, but the words are stuck in his chest. The look he's giving me makes me feel weak, like my knees are about to buckle under the weight of his presence. I stare into those eccentric eyes, the eyes that have seen things, horrible things I'll never even begin to imagine. For some strange reason, he sets those eyes on me with intent, as if they were meant to, and I fall into their intoxicating hypnosis. What? The question comes out again, but more breathy than I intended. I want him to say what he has to say, or do what he was about to do, so I can run far away from this feeling. But he doesn't. He just drops his head forward against the doorframe above me, his hair disheveled against it as he sighs. I'm frozen again at the closeness. My face is by his neck. His scent hits my nose. Woodsy spice with a mix of cigarettes and coffee. An odd combination that he owns entirely. His forearm rests against the doorframe, the other, hanging long, draped down as the edge of his hand gently brushes against mine. I find I have the urge to touch his hand with the tips of my fingers, so I hold on to the edge of his. It should be an insignificant gesture, something friends do to comfort each other, but it feels like so much more. He sucks in a breath at the contact, then swallows, his Adam's apple bobbing above me. He shifts his head down to look at me, still pressed against the doorframe, his hair looking unkempt against it, almost representing the messiness that's happening here. His fingers slowly lace through mine as his thumb gently runs small circles over my skin. What is this? I have the desire to feel his lips on mine, the urge to kiss him becoming an undeniable reality. I've never felt this way before. This ache to touch him, to feel more of him. I wonder if he's grappling with the same struggles. He starts, leaning down towards me with his mouth parted, looking at my lips.
I need a smoke.
He backs away from me, flexing his jaw as he turns towards the door, running a hand through his hair. I hear him curse beneath his breath. I stand there, blinking at his departure. There's an unspoken truth beneath the surface of our eyes. I can't seem to understand it yet, but something inside of me wants to keep trying. Later that night, Patrick came home from work and jumped into the shower. I'd gotten some work done today, but endlessly stared out of the window, replaying that scene between Hawk and I at the door. Brushing it away, I make dinner for everyone. Not knowing if I would see Hawk again tonight, I'm surprised when he comes out of his room with his jacket hanging over his shoulder, just as I'm setting out plates. He looks like he is about to head out, but stalls when he sees me. Want a cheeseburger? I offer with a brief grin. Whatever tension there was, I need it gone. Let's get back to normal. I need normal. His face relaxes with a half smile as he slings his coat over the back of the chair.
Sure.
We all sit and begin eating as Patrick fills the air with conversation about work. He goes on about contracts and paperwork and this new guy they hired who is a total nightmare. Hawk just eats in silence, looking up every so often to make eye contact with me, then looks back down at his food when I look away.
But yeah, they want this guy to travel to Colorado with me, learn as we go. They even suggested he room with me, which is ridiculous.
What's wrong with that? He turns to me, mouth agape.
What's wrong with that? Plenty. First, I should be able to have a room to myself to get my work done. And second, I don't even know why we've kept this guy around. He isn't a part of our congregation. He doesn't align with our values.
I'm not even going to explain the frustration I'm feeling right now. Everything he's saying is totally contradictory. Do you really need to align yourself with people who are only of your religion?
Our religion?
He clarifies.
And I don't feel like our family-owned business should hire someone who isn't. Our company is based on our Catholic values. It's what we stand for.
So let me get this straight. Being Catholic means aligning yourself with other Catholics. Okay, got it, I reply with a snarky tone.
Don't give me attitude, Nick. You know how important this is as a representation of my family. If anything, you could do more in the church to help show your support. You said once we moved here, you'd start coming to Sunday service, but you haven't even done that. Hell, you need to, especially with your father and his little affair.
I drop my fork to the table, sending my steamed veggies flying. I push back away from the table, shaking my head. Hawk looks up from his burger, eyeing me, then Patrick. Ridiculous, Patrick. This is ridiculous.
Our faith is ridiculous?
You want to talk about faith? Where in the church does it allow for premarital sex? Or do all Catholics just get to pick and choose which rules to live by? I don't care how unhinged I probably look. I've about had it with these Catholic values that don't seem so Christian after all.
Nicole, lower your voice.
I get up from my chair, glaring at him and pointing my finger in his direction. Do not call me that. I turn and walk away from the guys, leaving to head to the bathroom. I can't stand it. This religion talk, the fakeness of their family, and then the use of my messed up family issues as a low blow to end it. I strip myself of my clothes, frustrated in dealing with this continuous issue between us we can't seem to change. I get into the shower, allowing the warm water to blend in with the tears already streaming my face. I silently cry, feeling trapped in an uncontrollable situation, until the tears run dry and water is the only thing left to clean me of this night. Eleven, the trip. After I got out of the shower, I wrapped myself in my silk robe and went to our bedroom to get into something comfortable before bed. I needed that breather to cool off. Had I stayed at the table, who knows what would have come out of my mouth next. As I walk into the room, Patrick is sitting on the edge of our mattress, waiting for me with his head in his hands. He looks up with a soft look on his face upon hearing me. He stands, walking towards me, shaking his head.
Nick, I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
He wraps his arms around me as I stand still, holding on to my anger, unable to just let it go.
What I said was awful. It's been such an arduous week, and I'm overworked and stressed, and what I said was uncalled for. I went too far. Those words should never have come out. I feel awful.
He sighs, shaking his head.
I apologize for hurting you.
His sincerity rings true. It's evident in the redness of his eyes. It's not like Patrick to do this. He's never talked down to me like this before. In all honesty, we were the couple everyone admired in college. We didn't fight. We didn't have drama like other relationships surrounding us. People always looked at us as the relationship that they strove for. But what was becoming of us? As much as I want to stay mad, he is leaving tomorrow for 2 nights, and I'm going to regret holding this grudge longer than I should. I know he's truly sorry, but he needs to know what he said was wrong. It's just not okay. You can't use my father against me like that. It hurts, Patrick. You know that.
I know, Nick. God, I'm so sorry.
He holds my face in his, brushing his lips against mine.
You mean so much to me.
He presses his lips to mine in a tender kiss, and I part from him.
I'm just really tired.
He holds my hands, bringing me over to the bed and helping me under the covers. Wrapping an arm around me, he pulls me back into him, whispering into my ear.
I love you, Nick.
I love you too. I mutter the phrase, but still feel the pain of his words. He plants kisses along my neck and jaw, littering me with love to make amends, but it's just not working at the moment. I'm hurt. I wake up after falling asleep in that same position with Patrick to a dark room. Checking the clock, I see it's around 2 in the morning. Realization hits me and I remember I left out all the burgers and sides I made for dinner. And knowing men, they're probably all still sitting out on the counter, spoiling. I slip back into my robe, tying it over my underwear and tank top, and make my way to the kitchen. As soon as I open the door, I see a light shining from the kitchen. Walking up to the table, my lips automatically curl into a light grin. You. Hawk turns to me from the sink, his brows raised in surprise at my voice. The way his forehead wrinkles as his hair falls into his eyes when he looks at me gives me a strange tingling sensation in the pit of my stomach.
Oh, hey, I thought you were sleeping,
he says softly, putting the pan in the drying rack as quietly as he can, then drying his hands with a towel slung over his tatted up shoulder. He was washing dishes. He must have just taken a shower because his hair is extra shiny, as if it's halfway dry, and he's wearing a new set of gray sweatpants hanging off his hips. I can count every ripple, every ridge of his abdomen, with the way the kitchen light is highlighting the deep cuts from above. It's insane. I stutter. I forgot about the food with everything that happened.
You all right?
He asks abruptly, like he's been wanting to ask for a while. I'm fine. I sigh. Sorry I ruined dinner.
You didn't ruin anything.
I pause, looking up at his concerned face. His green eyes look darker in the moon's light. I'd never take him for the sensitive, empathetic type. Yet here he is surprising me again. I totally judged this book by its cover way too early. Thank you. And thanks for cleaning up. I smile, an appreciative one.
It's nothing.
He brushes me off, sitting down at the chair across the table from me.
So, did you guys make up? Make him sin again?
His face is serious, then breaks into a deep, hearty laugh, holding his hand across his lips to suppress it. Shut up. I laugh along with him, dropping my head into my hand.
Honestly, that was the funniest shit I've heard in a long time. You didn't hold back, and to be honest, you were totally right. I've just never seen anyone lay it on him like that.
He looks at me, brows raised, impressed. I rest my elbows on the table, holding my head up as I listen to him.
I just wonder.
He trails, almost unsure if he should finish the sentence. I feel like I know what he's going to say and the questions he wants to ask. Why are we together? How do I deal with him, the family? But I don't have the answers. It's just hard for me sometimes to deal with the family and the expectations. I trail my words, realizing I may have said too much. I don't want to disrespect their family, talking badly about them with Hawk, who I still barely know.
Hey.
He reaches his hand across the table, grabbing mine. The simple gesture, the softness of his long fingers on mine gives me instant butterflies, making my stomach flip.
It's okay.
It's like he can read my mind. He looks through me, feeling the hesitation I hold in my heart. He's allowing me to be open and feel what I'm feeling, to be honest with myself. Something I haven't done in a while. But it's too much for me. I'm not ready. I smile nervously, then slowly pull my hand away. Thank you. I really appreciate it. I clear my throat. I should get back to bed. Have to get up early to get him to the airport. Hawk watches our hands separate for a moment, staring at the table. Finally, he nods and stands, his voice just above a whisper.
Yeah, of course.
I walk back towards the bedroom, then stall when I reach the door, my hand on the frame, tapping my fingers lightly, remembering when he was leaning against it above me with that look in his eyes. That look of need. That look of knowing. Knowing that there's no going back. I turn to face him, to tell him goodnight, to tell him thanks again. To look into his eyes and feel whatever I feel when he looks at me. But when I look back, he's gone. The next morning, after departing with Patrick to the airport and spouting out more, "I'm sorry," and "I'll call you the whole time," comments, he flies out to Colorado, and I make my way back to the house. I feel empty inside, stuck in a moment. It's a strange feeling I can't seem to explain. It's quiet when I get there. I don't know what I was expecting, but I guess I'd hoped to see Hawk standing in the kitchen in his sweats, making us some coffee while The Irishman is starting on Netflix. But he isn't there. The place couldn't be more silent, more lonely. I decide to go back to bed for a while, cuddle up, and try to forget everything and everyone. When I wake a few hours later, I smell coffee brewing from the kitchen. An excitement fills me that he might be out there. Maybe he's back. Going to the bathroom and brushing my teeth again, I fix my frumpy look and put my hair up into a messy bun. I don't look awful, not amazing by any means, but I feel cute enough to be seen. Walking into the kitchen, I look around for him. I see the pot of coffee and a little ripped piece of paper next to it. A note with his words scribbled on the surface.
"For you. See you later."
I frown a little at the note. I can't lie to myself. There was some excitement in knowing I'd be able to hang out with my new friend today, watch movies, maybe even order some takeout while simultaneously working. Not spending time with Hawk makes me realize how much I truly enjoy spending time with him, especially now that we'd have some freedom to just relax. He makes me feel good about myself in a completely new way. I can be exactly who I am without worrying about saying the wrong thing or sounding like an idiot. He isn't a judgmental person by any means, especially because he's actually gone through tough times himself. He's more open-minded than Patrick, which makes talking to him delightfully interesting. See you later? I wonder when that means. This afternoon? Tonight? It was kind of bothering me not to know. I brush it aside, grabbing the delicious coffee and begin working on my edits for the day. Lucky for me, I love my work, and when I'm genuinely interested, I get sucked into stories that take me to unknown places for hours at a time. Around dinner time, the house is still silent. I'd texted Patrick this afternoon, wondering if he'd made it safely there, but never heard back. He promised me he'd text, FaceTime, whatever it was going to be, but I'd heard nothing. After sending my work in and making myself a bowl of soup for dinner, I accepted that I probably wouldn't hear from anyone tonight. I settle into the couch to watch some reruns of a favorite comedy show of mine when I hear some rumbling at the door. It rattles, and the door shakes, until I hear a loud bang against it, followed by a dragging sound. My heart rate increases, my breath getting caught in my chest. Getting up, I run around the couch to peer out the peephole, seeing nothing but legs that look like they're coming out of the bottom of the door with all too familiar black combat boots. I let out a breath and open it as Hawk falls back into me.
"Oh, fuck."
"Hawk, what are you doing?" I shriek, catching him under his arms. He's so heavy, like dead weight. He reeks of alcohol and a combination of other substances. Clearly, he's messed up. I vaguely remember him telling Kid that he can't be caught doing drugs at the moment. He could get sent back to prison. I have to get him in this house.
"Cole,"
he groans again.
"I didn't want you to..."
"Shh, just come on. Let's get inside." With his assistance, I successfully drag him into the house and lay him down on the couch. "What did you do? Are you drunk? What are you on?" I ask him with legitimate concern.
Just go to your room,"
he slurs, running his hands down his face. His black t-shirt is riding up on his abdomen, and I see the tattoo that says, "Every saint has a past, every sinner has a future," right above his pelvis. His ripped, dark jeans are hanging around his slim waist, his heavy boots, mostly untied, and his hair all disheveled. "What? No."
"Go to your room, Cole,"
he yells, his bloodshot eyes staring into me. "No." He throws his head back against the couch, giving up the fight. Clearly not in the right frame of mind to even attempt to win this battle. I make my way to the kitchen and fill up a large cup with ice water, handing it to him before grabbing a frozen pizza and putting it in the oven. Reluctantly taking the water, he downs the entire glass before me. I listen as his lip ring hits the glass, watching as his throat rolls and his Adam's apple bounces as he swallows it all. He pulls the empty glass from his mouth and the water clings to his lips like it loves where it is. He's not even aware that I'm blatantly staring.
"Patrick's in Denver?"
he asks, staring straight ahead at the wall as if trying to focus. "I don't know. I think so," I shrug.
"He didn't call you?"
His eyes narrow in disgust. I shake my head no. He scoffs, then rolls his eyes. I'm sure my relationship with Patrick is a total joke to him. He doesn't seem like the kind of guy who would ever want to commit to only one person. Where's the fun in mild sex and occasional fighting? But it's the love he doesn't see that makes it worth it. It's the trust that makes it sustain. Right? After the pizza's done, I bring him a plate full to where he's still lying on the sectional.
"You didn't need to do this,"
he comments, still sounding messed up, looking up at me through his long eyelashes, his eyes red as ever. "Shut up and eat," I reply, then grin because that felt good to say.
"Damn, who are you?"
He looks at me with eyebrows raised, then grins back lazily, taking the pizza from my hands. He eats and I refill his water.
"Thank you."
"So are you going to tell me why you were out drinking?" I ask, humor in my tone.
"No."
"Ha, I figured. You're reckless. Trouble," I say playfully, sitting down next to him. Teasing him is slowly becoming my new favorite hobby. I like our banter. He leans back against the couch again, licking his lips, then looks at me with hooded eyes and no humor whatsoever.
"You have no idea."
I suck in a breath, my mouth suddenly feeling dry as a desert. "I'll get you a blanket." I grab a blanket from the basket near the TV, assuming he's probably just going to crash where he's at. I hand it to him with a light smile. He looks at the blanket, then at me, then grabs it with his hand. The same hand with the black hawk on it. The same hand with the black rings adding to his whole badass look. The same hand that screams masculinity in its large, rough form. After he grabs it, he grabs my outreached hand. His eyes close tightly as if fighting himself on what he's about to say.
"Stay."
The one word drops from his mouth as a command, not a question. The one word that means more than the definition itself. The word that carries a weight with it. A weight I'm finding I want to carry. He opens his reddened eyes again, his lips just barely parted, before kicking off his boots and laying back casually. He opens the blanket for me to lie next to him. I stand there for a second, debating whether or not this is a good idea. I know it's not, but I find any excuse to make it one. It's only cuddling. It's only the couch. He's only a friend. Where's the harm in that? I lay beside him, my back to his chest as he props the pillow beneath my neck for support. He's so warm, yet so hard against me. His long arm drapes around me, pulling me tightly to him as he adjusts his position, fitting perfectly against me. He breathes me in, then sighs as he slowly drifts off to sleep. It feels way better than it should, and I don't know what to do with that. I'm losing myself to him slowly but surely. I drift off to a new place. A place that's terrifying, yet comforting. Amazingly effortless, yet filled with trouble. I'm crossing a line that shouldn't be crossed, but can't help but inch closer and closer to that satisfying destruction I desire. 12. The party is here. Sitting in the chair at my desk the next day, I breathe deeply, calming myself before calling Patrick. The phone rings against my ear, and I remember Hawk's arms encircled around me, holding me against his solid, warm frame. The phone rings, and I recall the way our legs were intertwined, my thigh resting over his, as one hand held my lower back, the other wrapped up behind my neck. The phone rings, and I remember the sound of his heart beating beneath me, my cheek against his chest, breathing in mint and musk, the sweet scent of him. The phone rings, and I hear my boyfriend's voice, snapping me out of my late-night memories.
Nick, hey, baby, I'm so sorry I didn't call.
Patrick, I shake my head, clearing my thoughts. Are you all right? Did you make it okay? I've been worried, I say, rolling a pencil between my fingers at my desk.
I did. The guys wanted to check out downtown, so we had dinner and then went out for a few drinks.
Oh. And yet, he couldn't call or text just to tell me that? I'm trying not to be that girl. That girl that gets mad at a guy for being a guy. But it's getting a little difficult lately. We talk for a few more minutes while he tells me how amazing the hotel is and that he did, in fact, end up getting a room all to himself. He talks about his plans for the day and the work he's got ahead of him. He sounds excited and energized, and I'm truly happy for him. We get off the phone with the promise for him to call later, a promise I'm hoping he'll actually keep. As I get into the shower, the memories come flooding back. With my hands washing my body, I remember Hawk's hands on me. I shouldn't do this. I don't know what's come over me. I imagine his hands scouring my curves, wrapping around my neck, cupping my breasts. No, snap out of it, Nick. You're just lonely. I turn the water off and get dressed. I need to leave this house while Hawk is still passed out so I don't have to deal with the awkwardness of this cuddling situation again. Putting on a cute off-the-shoulder sweater, I slide into some ripped jeans that hug my curves and a pair of cute brown booties with a nice little heel. I check myself in the mirror before I go, my hair draped down my back in loose curls. I feel good. I sneak back out into the living room, passing Hawk on the couch. He's sleeping so peacefully. I stare at him for a moment, contemplating leaving. I consider just curling back into him again, continuing this quest towards desires, but choose against it. Instead, I decide it's best to leave. I try to make my way to the door quietly. Thankfully, I do. After mindlessly shopping at a couple of different stores for a few hours, I pick up a much-needed bottle of wine and some groceries for the week. I figure I've given him enough time to get up, so I head home. Lucky for me, he's gone when I get there. No uncomfortable conversation. Phew. Later that evening, I make myself some spaghetti when I hear my phone ring. Excitedly running towards it, I see it's Patrick calling and pick it up immediately. Hey, I answer. Nothing. Patrick? Hello? I hear loud noises in the background as if he's dining out somewhere. It's then I hear muffled voices talking. He butt-dialed me. I listen closely, attempting to pick up anything, when I hear my name.
Nick, move. Oh well.
Frustrated, I hang up and try to call him back, but he doesn't answer. Nick, move. Oh well. That just doesn't sound like anything good. I pop the bottle of wine, pouring up an enormous glass, and decide to go with a liquid diet tonight as my phone rings on the table. Patrick.
Hey, Angel. Sorry I missed your call. We're having dinner at Taruni's. I was just about to call you.
Sure. Where am I moving? I'm getting to the bottom of this. He's been acting weird.
What?
Patrick. I heard you a minute ago. Where am I moving?
I really didn't want to talk to you about it like this. Can we just talk when I get back?
Please, Patrick, just tell me. I beg, feeling the heat of my agitation warm my face. It can't wait. He huffs, clearly fighting with himself to tell me.
I got a job offer from the company here. They really like me, and it would be a huge salary increase.
I thought you were only doing business with them. Signing contracts? What happened?
We'll talk when I get back. We're about to finish up dinner, then head out.
Out? Again?
It's business, Nick. You're being a little ridiculous.
I'm being ridiculous, and yet he is potentially accepting jobs in a new state. Planning moves without discussing things with me. Partying every night he's there, not calling. Oh, and he said, oh well, when it came to me dealing with it. But I'm supposed to do what the women in their family do and shut up about it. The men run the family business and the women don't have a say in anything. They sit back and nod their pretty little heads. Am I really trapping myself into this for the rest of my life? After ending our brief fight, we hang up with his promise to call me in the morning. I throw my phone on the coffee table, then grab my oversized glass of wine and chug it. I want more than anything to dull this aching, lonely pain. I hear the front door twist to open and my heart rate immediately increases. I turn to see Hawk coming in quickly with his boots and jacket still on. He walks towards my bedroom and peers into it, clearly searching for me before his eyes meet mine on the couch. I'm sure I look amazing. My eyes are all puffy from the stupid tears that decided to exit my face after Patrick's call. I'm sitting in the dimly lit room with no TV on, and I have the wine bottle in between my thighs, glass in hand. Why I'm using this glass, I don't even know anymore.
Oh, hey, I didn't see the TV on. Didn't think you were here.
Yep, I reply, holding up my glass of wine. He walks over to me, a questionable grin on his face.
You all right?
Never been better. He eyes me quizzically while I eye the bottom of my wine glass, finishing the drink.
What happened, Cole?
He asks in a stern tone. I shake my head, peering at the smudged lip gloss on the rim of the glass. Nothing, and I don't want to talk about it. He stares at me for a moment, and I see his jaw flex before he finally gives in to my plea and nods once.
So, this might be kind of weird, but...
He talks with some hesitation, so I know there's probably a girl waiting in his car to be properly fucked. It's fine, Hawk. You can bang whoever you want, whenever you want. His eyebrows shoot up, then furrow together before he lets out a dry chuckle while rubbing the back of his neck.
No. I meant to say that Kid was wondering if we could come hang here tonight.
Wow, I'm an idiot. I blame the wine.
I just assumed maybe with Patrick being gone, I told Kid I'd ask you first, of course.
Oh, yeah, I stand. Yeah, that's fine. I'll go.
No, stay.
He demands, and I sit back down. Why is it I listen to him like a damn puppy dog? Kid barges into the house with a large bag of what sounds like bottles rustling together and a petite brunette with a bob cut behind him.
The party is here!
Shooting Hawk a questionable glance, he grins back, then rolls his eyes at Kid as he and some girl walk in. I introduce myself to Marion, who I found out is my age, works at a club a town over, possibly a stripper, and most definitely not dating Kid. Her words. I have a feeling Kid is under the impression that maybe she will be after tonight, but by the way she's eyeing Hawk from head to toe, I'd think she has other plans. Circling around the kitchen table, we play some drinking games. We decide on spades since it's just the four of us. But before long, the game gets rowdy as drinks are flowing. Kid and Marion keep having to take shots because Hawk and I are killing them. We're sitting across from one another, Hawk and I, and every time our eyes connect, I feel that little flutter again. That deadly flutter that makes me just want to poison my guts with more wine and forget why I feel this way around him. It doesn't help that we're partners and playing off each other's looks. The flirty smiles, the biting lips, the tongue to the corner of the mouth, all signals we're trying to communicate to continue cheating our way to victory. After another win, we fall away from the table, venturing around the living room. Hawk puts some music on the TV to listen through the surround sound speakers as Marion makes her way over to him. She settles into the couch, her legs over his, as I hear her ask him about his tattoos. I clean up in the kitchen, then pour myself another glass of wine. It's bothering me, watching them. She runs her finger along his jaw, then brushes it across his lips, touching his lip ring. He just sits back in the cushioned seat, holding her as she sits on his lap.
Here I thought she was into me.
Kid shrugs, leaning against the counter with me, staring at them with our arms crossed. I give him a little pitied shrug, then continue watching. This happened a lot? I turn to face him with a sorrowful grin.
Always. This jackass gets them all.
He chuckles, clearly not entirely hurt over the matter.
I shouldn't be mad. He missed 5 years of this. He's got some making up to do.
5 years. I look back over to where Marion's giggling about something, leaning further into Huck as I'm mentally kicking myself for ever feeling any stupid feelings I felt these past few days. This is what he does, and often. How could I think for a moment that the looks we shared were anything more than a prerequisite to get into my pants? I watch as she bites his ear, playing with it, then giggles and straddles his lap. His hands cup her bottom as her arms wrap around to the back of the couch. Then she kisses him. This shouldn't bother me. I've seen him kiss before. The chick by the door. I've heard him get a blowjob for crying out loud. But watching this play out just delegitimized any type of connection I thought we may have had. As uncomfortable as I suddenly feel, I'm glad this happened. Something needed to stop me and my messed up head from reading too far into this lust. Hawk pulls away from her kiss as she sucks on his bottom lip. She kisses along his neck before he turns, looking in our direction. He spots Kid and I leaning together and looking his way, when his face changes from playful to something unreadable. I take another much-needed sip of my now-empty wine, filling up another. He politely moves Marion to the side so he can get up. Moving his way from the living room to the kitchen, he stands before us with his brows lowered and a wide stance.
Kid, lay off. I already told you. She's got a boyfriend. Yeah, I know. But shit, she's hot and lonely. What am I supposed to do?
I feel the heat rising up my neck and face as I blush. I'm not hot, but I am lonely.
She's fine,
he says quickly, dismissing him. What are we talking about over here? Marion joins us in the kitchen, hanging her arm over Hawk, making me scowl unintentionally.
Nothing,
he replies sharply. Well, I brought the white girl. She makes her way over to the table. Who wants a line? As I'm trying to understand what she's referring to, she pulls out a bag with a white powdery substance. She's about to snort a line of coke off Patrick's old family dining table. The irony almost makes me laugh out loud. My eyebrows shoot up, but I say nothing. Kid excitedly joins her at the table, and Hawk looks at them with squinted eyes as his jaw flexes.
Get that shit out of here,
he says in a deep, threatening tone. Oh, come on! Let's liven things up. Church girl, try it. You'll probably loosen up a bit, Marion exclaims, assuming he said that because of me.
Are you fucking serious? I said get that shit out of this house. In fact, both of you go.
Hawk yells, making them snap their heads up at him. He's mad. Like, really mad. Jesus, I thought we were here to have fun. Marion groans, packing it back up.
Fuck that. Go to the cabin. You can do whatever the hell or whoever the hell you want there.
He replies, walking to the door and opening it.
We've been drinking, dude. I can't drive.
Kid explains.
Fuck.
Hawk rakes his hands through his hair.
I'll drop you off. Bring you the car tomorrow.
Kit agrees as he and Marion grab their stuff and head for the door. Kid gives me a friendly salute paired with his crooked, adorable smile. Hawk walks towards where I'm standing in the kitchen. He lingers for a moment, tapping his finger on the counter.
I'll be right back,
he whispers. I nod my head, rubbing my lips together, feeling funny about the whole situation.
You okay?
He asks, moving in closer to me, the care in his greenish-teal eyes evident. I breathe in his scent, looking from his eyes to his lips, then back again abruptly. Those lips that Marion just had sealed to hers. I know that's what he means when he asks if I'm okay. He knows I saw him, but he's fearful that it affected me. I hate that it did. Yeah, I've got like half a bottle of wine somewhere in the fridge, yet I'm good. I stutter out the words like an idiot, trying to be totally nonchalant. He gives me his sexy side grin, his hair falling into his eyes.
All right, good. Wait for me.
Wait for me? What does that mean? My brows lower. No, Huck, I'm just... He leans in, grabbing my wrist softly and looks at me with hard eyes.
Wait for me.
I say nothing as I watch him leave with Kid and Marion. Grabbing the opened bottle hiding in the back of the fridge, I sink down the cabinets to the floor of the kitchen. I take a large pull of the wine, letting it warm me. I don't know what wait for me means, but I have a feeling I'll be doing just that. 13. Mistakes that make us. I've officially done it. I've successfully gotten myself good and drunk while waiting for Huck to return. He probably found some girls at the cabin and is currently banging them into oblivion. I don't know why I'd agreed to wait for him. Why would I even? What is it exactly I'm waiting for? I slump over on the couch after changing into a more comfortable tank top and short set. Grabbing my phone, I check to see if Patrick tried calling me. It's late now, but I would assume he'd still be up if they went out after dinner. No calls, no messages. So I call him. I'm tipsy enough to tell him how I feel, so I wait as it rings. It rings and rings and rings. No answer. I hang up, then call again. You know, in case I dialed the wrong number or something like that. Sure, that's what I'll say. Immediately after trying to dial him, the phone goes straight to voicemail. One thing I know about Patrick is he's a perfectionist. He's a planner. He doesn't allow his phone to die while he's out. It would be considered irresponsible. There's only one logical answer to this. He blocked my call. I try again. Straight to voicemail. What the hell? Now I'm mad. I'm tipsy, I'm mad, and I never made my spaghetti, so now I'm even more mad because I'm hungry. I hear the door creak open as Hawk walks in. He approaches where I'm laying back in my pool of drunken anger. His tall frame stands above me, and I get a whiff of cigarettes and mint. He came back. And he brought food.
I bought us some food,
he says with a hint of excitement in his playful green eyes, his tatted up forearm flexing, holding out the rolled up brown bags before me. My eyes light up and I almost instantaneously forget that I was upset. Food is what I need right now, and those bags of burgers and fries are just the trick. We eat our deliciously fattening food on the couch next to each other in communal silence, while Public Enemies plays in the background.
Sorry about earlier,
he says, turning towards me, popping a cluster of fries into his mouth. What do you mean? I'm not upset. I take a bite of burger, chewing gracefully as I talk. I'm just sorry your friends pissed you off. Guess they don't understand how your situation works. He drops his food, brushing the salt off his large, inked hands, then runs a hand through his dark tendrils.
I don't give a fuck about that. I just didn't want that shit around you. Here.
He kicked them out for me? I guess it makes sense. It's not like he wasn't around drugs and everything else at the cabin when we were there. He even made Kid put away his weed in the car when we were on our way out there. It wasn't for him, like he made it seem. It was for me. I just find it odd that he wants to protect me from it. I'd assumed he didn't think twice about anyone around him. I gaze at him, trying to understand, trying to piece this together. He's staring into me, doing that thing again, where he toys with his lip ring while looking from my eyes to my lips, then back. He blinks, closing his eyes tightly, looking away, then rolls up the food and sets it aside. He gets comfortable, kicking off his boots and sliding his legs behind me on the couch. He lays down, grabbing the blanket and opening it up, nodding his head for me to join him like it's the most casual and normal thing in the world. Are we doing this again? Cuddling has become our friendly thing. I shouldn't. Don't do it, Cole. Look at me, using his nickname for me in my head. He's infiltrating my intoxicated mind. I crawl next to him, my body disobeying my brain as I cuddle into his warmth. I'm facing him this time as he wraps his large arm around my lower back and pulls me firmly into him, leaving no space between us. Releasing a little moan at the contact, I bravely look up at him through nervous lashes. A chunk of hair falls into his eyes. I reach up with my loose hand and brush it back off his forehead, an intimate gesture that clearly catches him off guard. His chest is rising and falling between us as I slowly trail the hand from his forehead, past his ear, then down the side of his neck, tracing over the tattoos as it falls down between us. The way he's looking at me is fascinating. His expression is a combination of bewilderment and longing, as if he can't believe I'm right here in front of him. With his brows knit closely together, he slowly leans his head down to rest his forehead against mine. His mouth is parted and I can feel his soft breath on my lips. We're close. Too close. Dangerously close. I can almost taste him from here. My senses are firing off. Everything feels amplified and surreal. Is it the wine? No, it's the desire. The desire for this temptation dangling in front of me. The ache for him to please me and for me to do whatever I can to please him. Why can't I pull away? Why can't I leave? Everything about this is wrong. I'm drawn to this sensation, this need I've never known.
Cole.
This is different. It's something I can tell we both feel. It isn't normal what's happening between us. Yet with how we look at each other, it's inevitable, knowing there's nothing that will stop this. He grabs my hand between us, holding it up to his lips, and kisses my knuckles softly while staring into my eyes. The feeling of his lips against my hand runs directly to my center. The cool metal of his lip ring brushing between each finger as he kisses every knuckle. My stomach turns, imagining those lips against mine. I'm breathless and can't control the rate at which my chest is rising and falling. I feel numb all over while my insides glow at the same time. I'm in a tailspin headed straight for the earth, bound to crash. The friendship line has been crossed. It was crossed a long time ago, to be honest. I'm just great at making excuses. Now, at this moment, I can't seem to control myself anymore. His fingers trace along my cheek, along my jaw, then finally across my lips as he licks his bottom lip.
You wreck me.
He studies my lips, as if memorizing the curve of my mouth. My eyes flutter up to his as we stare at each other. I swallow at his words as his eyes sear through me, reaching something I'd thought unreachable.
Wreck me, Cole.
The words are my undoing. I slowly part my lips as we tease each other with the closeness. He makes the final move, pressing his lips onto mine softly, almost unsure of how it will affect him. He pulls back, looking at me in almost disbelief, before the floodgates crash open and I pull the back of his neck into me, pressing my lips to his again. The feeling is completely erotic. His tongue slips between my lips, deepening the kiss. The warmth of his tongue against mine sends shivers directly down my spine. I'm floating now in a cloud of pure seduction, while the neurons fire away, trying to tell me to stop, trying to tell me that this is wrong. But I won't stop. I can't. A groan reverberates.